أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. صلوات منك برا. We gathered this evening to commemorate and remember a great tragedy in which Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam was attacked by the most despicable person on the face of the earth by the name of Ibn Muljim. We proudly call ourselves Shia of Ali because he has been introduced by the Prophet of Islam as Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the chief of the believers. We are the mu'mineen. He is our amir. He is our leader. And he is our guide. What does it mean to be the Shia of Ali? Tonight, I would like to take this opportunity in this and the related majalis, inshallah, to look at the example of those who were Shias of Ali in the lifetime of Ali. And so that we can look at them as role models and examples for us. Many times we hear that, you know, well, the imams were masoom. How can we look at them as our role models? Okay. Look at the ashab of the imams. At least be like them. Who told you to that you can become Ali or Hassan or Hussein? Look at the events of Karbala. In the Ziyarat Warisa, when we address the ashab of Imam Hussein, when we say, فَيَا لَيْتَنِ كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, that I wish I would have been there to attain that level and the success that you have attained. Just as we address the ashab of Hussein that way, think of the ashab of Ali in the same way. And this is where, inshallah, we'll be talking about some of the prominent Sahaba of Amir al-Mu'minin in these majalis. But let me begin with talking about, you know, the concept. Who were the early Shias? Shiaism is not a deviation from the main path of Islam later on. This is what we hear all the time, that this started after Karbala or during the days of the 5th and the 6th Imam. Shiaism actually is continuation of the true Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even during the days of the Prophet, there were some companions of the Prophet who were very close to Ali. And even during the days of the Prophet, they were known as Shi'atu Ali. So Shiaism is not something we started later on. It was there. It is actually the name for the true, you know, face of Islam brought by the Prophet. Kitab al-Zina is actually a book written by Abu Hatim Sajistani. This is a Muslim scholar who died in the year 250 after Hijrah. So we are talking about before even the Ghaybat started, from our, you know, historical context. And this big book is one of the earliest book which talks about the different theological groups among Muslims. And there it's very interesting. He says, you know, talking about the term Ash-Shi'a, not the Shi'a just like by itself. In Arabic, when you say Alif Lam, it becomes the Shi'a. So you're talking about a specific group of followers of someone. And he says that when we look at in the days of the Prophet, the title Ash-Shia was used for those who loved Ali ibn Abi Talib or were known for it. Then he gives the names, such as Salman al-Farsi, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, Miqdad bin Aswad al-Kindi, Ammar bin Yasir, and others. They were known as Shia of Ali and Ashab of Ali. So this clearly shows that when we talk about this concept of Shiaism, The presence of Shia of Ali was there even during the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that is the basis of, you know, talking about the Ashab of Ali. To understand, you know, what Ali is expecting from us as his Shia and follower. However, it's important to understand that when we talk about the Ashab of Ali, or even Ashab of Rasulullah, or the Shias in general, or the Mu'mineen, remember that not everyone is on the same level. They are darajat and levels of Iman. There is, you know, grading of the Mu'mineen. Because when we talk about the phenomenon known as Iman, which is a, you know, inner issue, not just the words on the tongue, Iman resides in the heart. Iman is not a static entity. It is not like a wood. This is what will be there even 10 years from now. It's not going to increase or decrease. Iman is a phenomenon which has this potential of increasing as well as the potential of decreasing. In Surah Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayat number 48, He says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is the one who sent down tranquility, sakina, in the hearts of the believers, لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ, so that he may increase the Iman with their existing Iman. It means that the Iman is already there, but now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by sending down the sakina, the tranquility, the level of their Iman will even increase. مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ ليزداد, as it means ازدياد, to make it even more. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we talk about the levels of Iman, you know, I would like to go to the famous hadith. You must have heard it many, many times, but in this context, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, talking to his, one of his companions by the name of Abdullah al-Qaratisi. Qaratis, qirtas, paper. He was in the business of, you know, selling papers. You have Tammar. Misam Taibmar, his trade was selling debts. So you have, you know, Jamal, all these. So Abdullah al-Qaratisi, he was the narrator here. Imam is talking to him and he says, Abdul Aziz al-Qaratisi. Imam says, Ya Abdul Aziz, إن الإيمان عشر درجات بمنزلة السلم. O Abdul Aziz, Iman is of 10 levels, just like the ladder or the stairs. يسعد منه مرقاتا بعد المرقات. You will go from one step to another. So it is something that you have to keep in mind, that Iman is not static. Wherever we are now should not be aware, oh, I'm already, alhamdulillah, you know, born in a Shia family, I'm a Shia Isnashari, and that's the end of the story. No. There are many, many darajat. And then towards the end of it, the sixth Imam is talking about the early Shias, and then he identifies three individuals. وَكَانَ الْمِقْدَادُ فِي الثَّامِنَةِ. Miqdad was on the eighth level. وَعَبُوْ ذَرْ فِي التَّاسِعَ. Abu Zar was on the ninth level. وَسَلْمَانْ فِي الْعَاشِرَ. And Salman was on the tenth level. Salawat Parana Ikbara. You know, some people look at this hadith, they say, Maulana, there seems to be a problem there. Why Ali is not mentioned? You should push Salman down, bring Ali there on the tenth level. Baba, this is the wrong question you are asking. Ali is not a level of Iman. He is the condition of Iman. Rasulullah mentioned these words to him, quoted by even Sunni, you know, muhaddiseen, where he says, Ya Ali, la yuhibbuka illa mu'min wa la yubghidhuka illa munafiq. O Ali, nobody loves you but a mu'min and nobody hates you but a munafiq. So basically this love of Ali is the litmus test for a Muslim's iman. Even in his life, Ansar used to say that we used to actually identify the munafiqeen among us by looking at their hatred towards Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat malik barah. So tonight let us look at Salman al-Farsi. That's how he's famous and commonly known even by us. But you will see there is a point that the Imams have about him. Just a very brief, time doesn't allow me to go into details. Maybe I'll continue this tomorrow also about Salman's story. He basically comes from the Persian background. That's why he's called Al-Farsi. And his name was actually Ruzbah. Ruzbah was his name. And born in a Zoroastrian family, raised as a Zoroastrian. But it seems that when he became adult, he was a learned person. He was not fully satisfied with his own faith. Started doing more research. And his search took him to different places. Eventually he became interested in Christianity, moved to Sham, the greater Syria, and became a Christian. He became very close to a very prominent monk, a Christian monk in a monastery in Mosul, and became his disciple. This monk, who had access to their books of the early days, on his deathbed, makes a wasiyyat to Salman. He says, there is something I have not told anyone, but I would like to share with you. He says, according to our books and the information given to us, we are actually in the time of the advent of the last prophet. And he says, according to my understanding, he is already born and he is there in Mecca. In your search for truth, maybe you should go to Mecca and see him. So Salman then joined an Arab caravan to go to Mecca. Somehow in the way things happened where he was captured and made into a slave and ended up being sold in a slave market to somebody from Medina. So the Prophet is in Mecca. Salman is already there as a slave in Medina. Then the hijrah takes place. The Prophet comes to Medina. Salman heard about it because, almost a majority of Medina had already become Islam before the hijrah of the Prophet. So there was a lot of excitement in the city that, our Rasul has come here. And he settled down for the few days in Quba, waiting for Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima bint Asad and Fatima bint Rasul and all of the family to come there. So Salman, in his search for truth, decided to go and see him. But he wanted to be sure that this is the prophet that I'm looking for. It's amazing that, the Christian literature that he had access to, they had so much details about the characteristics of the prophet. So what does he do? He used to work in the farm, cultivation and farm, khurma. So he took a basket of khurma one day to Quba, where the Prophet was staying. And he goes to him and he presents that basket of khurma and dates to him. And he says, هَذِهِ صَدَقَ عَلَيْكَ وَلَا أَصْحَابِكَ. This is a sadaqa. Sadaqa is a charity. He says, this is a sadaqa for you and your companions. He said this purposely. Because he knew from the books that he had read that the last prophet will not use sadaqah for himself. It is haram for him. So he then left the basket there, and he wanted to see what happens. And he realized that the prophet did not even take one khurma, one date from that basket. He just passed it around among his ashab. Next day, he does the same thing, Salman. This time, he goes there and he says, "Hadhihi hadiyya." This is not sadaqah, this is a gift from me. And that's where he saw that the prophet actually ate and shared with the companions, but he also ate the khurma. And this is where, this was just one sign from the other things that he was looking for, which made him, you know, sure that this is the last prophet that I was looking for. Salawat man ekbara. Presence of Salman in the early days of Islam, also people like Bilal, Suhaib, and others who were not from Arabic background, affirms this belief that we have, all Muslims, no doubt, that Islam was not a religion which was sent for the Arabs or the Quraysh of Mecca. The Prophet is a prophet for the entire mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 34, ayah 28, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَظِيرًا. We have not sent you but as a Rasul for all the people. Someone who will bring good news as well as warn them against the fire of Jahannam. And we see that the Prophet was very clear that anyone who comes into the fold of Islam, irrespective of their background, they have the potential of strengthening their faith and also building up their moral life. And this is where we come to realize that your ethnicity or race, your color or feature, your language or culture, or your financial or social status, you know, are irrelevant when we talk about, you know, attaining higher spiritual level in Islam. It doesn't matter where you are from, what is your color or your, you know, ethnic or racial background. And this is where we see that the Prophet of Islam came to abolish this whole issue of racism and tribalism. Although this disease of racism was there even in the hearts of many Arab Qurayshi Muslims who considered the non-Arab Muslims to be inferior. Unfortunately, that disease has continued for so many centuries, even now. You know, they have this asabiyya, you know, they look at others as inferior as far as the religion is concerned. And this is where we see that even a great, you know, companion of the Prophet like Salman, you know, faced discrimination and racism. Just one narration, there are many other examples, because this is a narration that we have from our sources, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he says, one day in the Masjid al-Nabi, a group of Qurayshi Muslims were sitting there. Salman was also there. Maybe others were also there. And this Qurayshi, you know, who considered themselves to be elite, superior, started, you know, asking one another, can you describe your nasab and hasab? You know, your origin, your tribal affiliation. You know, these Arabs sometimes had this wrong notion. During the Jahiliya era, they would say, oh, you know, there are 50 graves of my ancestors in this graveyard. And that was a pride for them, you know, because I have a large family in the past. And so they were sitting there. They're all Muslims now. You know, they are talking about, I'm so-and-so, I'm from this tribe and that. And Salman was there. One of these Qurayshi Muslims, Umar ibn Khattab, turns to Salman and he says, أخبرني من أنت ومن أبوك وما أصلك. O Salman, why don't you introduce yourself? You know, who are you? Who is your father? What is your origin? Look at the response of Salman. This is where I'm saying we have to look at them as role models. Salman turns to Umar ibn Khattab and he says, Ana Salman bin Abdullah. Not this guy who is now, huh? I am Salman, son of a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kuntu dhallan fahadani Allahu bi Muhammad. I was lost, looking for the truth. And Allah guided me through Muhammad. Kuntu a'ilan fa'aghnali Allahu bi Muhammad. I was poor, in need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me free from need through Muhammad. Kuntu mamlukan, I was a slave. Because the Prophet was then involved even in, you know, buying the freedom of Salman, helping in that process. So he says, وَكُنْتُ مَمْلُوكًا, I was a slave, فَعَتَقَنِي اللَّهُ بِمُحَمَّدٍ, and Allah made me free through Muhammad. هَذَا نَصَبِي وَحَذَا حَسَبِي. This is my origin and this is my identity. Salawat. While this conversation was going on in Masjid al-Nabi, the Prophet comes in. And Salman goes to the Prophet and he complains. He says, look at these people. They're bragging about their tribal affiliation and this and that. They wanted to put me down. And this is what I responded to. And Rasulullah said, yeah, your answers were very correct. And then the Prophet now addresses that group of Quraysh. Ya ma'shar Quraysh. Inna hasab ar-rajul deenahu. The status of a person is his faith. Wa murawwatuhu khulqahu. And his personality is his character and akhlaq. Wa asluhu aqluhu. And the origin of a person is the level of his intelligence. What are you talking about, your tribes and, you know, this and that? And then he recited this ayat from Surah Hujarat, ayat number 13, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we created you from a male and a female, divided you into different tribes, shu'uban wa qaba'ila, lita'arafu, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honorable person among you is the one who is most righteous. And so the Prophet says, you know, this is the standard. Then he looked at Salman and he says, لَيْسَ لِعَهَدٍ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ عَلَيْكَ فَضْلٌ إِلَّا بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. None of them have any superiority over you because of their tribal affiliations and things like that, except if they have a taqwa more than you. وَإِنْ كَانَ التَّقْوَى لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And if your level of taqwa is more than them, فَعَنْتَ أَفْضَلْ. You are superior to them. Salawat. So if we want to be Shia of Ali, we will have to look at this example of Salman al-Farsi. And we'll have to get rid of all the traces of racism from our minds and hearts. We have to look at our faith as our source of identity. Our character as the basis of our personality. And we should value the God-gifted intelligence and reason that He has given to each one of us. Salawat pranayak parar. How did Salman Farsi attain this level? I'm actually also used to, like every other speaker and writers, we still write Salman Farsi. You know, looking at his origin. But it's interesting, you know, how the Imams talk about Salman. You know, why was this high level of Salman when the sixth Imam says that there are 10 levels of Iman and Salman is on the top? Even higher than Abu Zar, higher than Miqdad, higher than Ammar and many others. There was a person by the name of Mansur Buzurj, probably by the name looks like Iranian himself, a companion of the sixth Imam. And one day he says to the Imam, "Ma aktharu ma asma'u minka ya Sayyidi zikru Salman al-Farsi." He says, "Oh my master, why is it that I see you frequently remembering and mentioning Salman al-Farsi? Because you talk about him quite a lot." Imam first, in a way, corrects him. "La taqul al-Farsi." Don't say Salman al-Farsi. "Lakin qul Salman al-Muhammadi." Salawat, brother Ikbarar. Call him as Salman Muhammadi. His affiliation is with Rasulullah in that way. "Atadri ma kathratu dhikri lahu." Do you know why I remember and talk about him more, mention him more? He says, "No." And this is where he says, "Qala li thalatha khisal." Because of three qualities in Salman, I always remember him and talk about him. And what is the first one? The most important one, which is an example for us. The sixth Imam says that the first reason why I prefer and remember and mention Salman all the time, إِثَارُهُ حَوَى أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى هَوَى نَفْسِهِ. The first quality of Salman is that his preference for Amir al-Mu'mineen's wish over his own wishes and desires. That is the first thing. Number two, حُبُّهُ لِلْفَقَرَاءِ وَإِخْتِيَارُهُ إِيَّاهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الثَّرْوَةِ وَالْعَدَدِ. Number two, his love for the poor people and his preference for them over the people who are affluent and people of wealth. And number three, حُبُّهُ لِلْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ. And the third quality that he had was his love for knowledge and the people of knowledge, the ulama. He was indeed abdan salihan, hanifan musliman. He was a righteous servant of Allah and a pure Muslim, wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. Now let me go to the first one. The sixth Imam says, "I remember Salman and talk about him so much because itharuhu hawa amir al-mu'mineen ala hawa nafsihi." Because he used to prefer whatever Ali wanted, the wish and the desire of Ali took preference in the eyes of Salman over his own desires and wishes. One incident I would like to share here just to show that example, even compared to people like Abu Zar and Miqdad and others. After this event of Saqifa, the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, there are 12 of them who actually had refused to do bay'at to Abu Bakr. These are the people who were in the house of Fatima al-Zahra when this incident took place. And this is where the Khalifa wanted Ali and his friends to come out and pledge allegiance until they forced the door down. And you know the tragedy which took place. And among those who were there was Salman, Abu Zar, Miqdad, Ammar, Zubair, and others. 12 of them. And they were all then dragged by force and forced to pledge allegiance other than Ali. It was Fatima al-Zahra who was there to basically take Ali away. But after that, maybe next day or the few days after that, they were sitting there in the courtyard of the masjid. And remember, the house of Fatima and Rasulullah was opening into the masjid. They were sitting there. These are the ashab of Ali, Salman, Abu Zar, Miqdad, Ammar, and others. And they were discussing, what should we do? And some of them were saying, "Oh, Ali should do this." Others were saying, "Ali should do that." Maqdad or Abu Zar said, well, you know, Ali knows Ismul A'zam, the secret names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can use that to change everything, you know, miraculously. Then they turned to Salman, who was the oldest. And look at this. Then you will understand the words that the sixth Imam used for him. Salman says, it is not for me to decide what Ali will do or should do. I'm just looking at his door. If Ali comes out with his sword in his hand, I will take my sword out. If he comes without taking out his sword out, then I know I have to be patient. It is not for me to decide what Ali would do. I have to just follow him, whatever he is doing. And this is where we have to realize, when we talk about being a Shia of Ali, is not an easy thing. Salman al-Farsi doesn't become Salman al-Muhammadi just by that. He didn't become Salman al-Muhammadi because of maybe doing all the 52 rakat and fasting for, you know, 3 months, or giving in charity. No, it is this level of iman that when you look at your Rasul and your Imam, your expectation is nothing but absolute obedience. That is the example that we have to follow when we call ourselves Shi'atu Ali. Salawat Pranik Parar. This whole issue with the sixth Imam says, you know, don't call him Salman al-Farsi, call him Salman al-Muhammadi. You know, basically, if you look at the origin, one of the honors given to Salman, which is unique, no one from the companions got that. This is in the Battle of Khandaq, where the allied forces of the Quraysh and Yahud and all, you know, others, other tribes, got together to attack Medina, to attack Muslims. So they came to the city. And the Prophet was planning what to do, how do we defend ourselves. Would, you know, at that time, Rasul would consult people but make the final decision himself. And the consultation is not in what is halal and haram. So it was not the question whether we confront the enemy or not. That was a given. The issue is that, you know, what method or strategy do we adopt? And that's where different ideas used to come before the war in Badr or Uhud and other places. In this battle known as Khandaq, it was Salman's idea. Arabs were never, you know, familiar with this idea of digging a ditch, a trench, so that, you know, the enemy cannot come over. This was the Farsi, you know, Persian technique that they had. And Salman Farsi is the one who suggested that. That why don't we dig a khandaq in the main strategic area where they are supposed to come? You know, wide enough and deep enough that they cannot even jump over. And different groups were given, I think 10 individuals each were given different parts of the area to go and dig. Salman was also doing his share of the work. And there the Muhajirin and Ansar started to argue, or even Aus and Khazraj, different tribes. Everybody was saying, oh, Salman is part of us, part of this group. Others were saying, no, Salman is part of our group. This is where Rasulullah says, Salman doesn't belong to this group or that group. Salman min al ahl al bayt. Salman is part of the ahl al bayt. He is not Arab. He is not Qurayshi. He is not Hashimi. There is no other companion whom the Prophet has described in this way. This is unique. Salman min al-Ahl al-Bayt. Salman is part of the Ahlul Bayt. This is where one of the early poets of those days used to say, you know, the son of Nuh didn't have any relationship with the father, according to the ayat of Quran, means spiritually, whereas Salman became part of the Ahlul Bayt. And this is because of the total loyalty, total obedience to Rasulullah and the Wali and the Wazir of Rasulullah. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, the potential is there, but that can only be attained when you go into that level of obedience to Allah, Rasul, and the Imam of the time. Salawat, Prophet Akbar. And this is why this sixth Imam is saying, you know, don't say Salman al-Farsi, he is Salman al-Muhammadi. When we talk about this issue of, you know, discrimination that earlier even Salman faced from the prominent Sahaba, this was a problem which was there. It became official policy of preferring Arabs over non-Arab Muslims. Preferring Quraysh over non-Quraysh Arab Muslims. Giving preference to Muhajireen over others. And this became official policy, especially during the days of the second Khalifa. And during the days of the third Khalifa, the pie was even more restricted. It became only for Banu Umayyah. Even the resources of the Baytul Mal and the revenue of the government were now more being shared among Banu Umayyah, because Usman was from Banu Umayyah. Ali and Ali Ali, through the centuries, their idea has always been to enforce the Sunnah of Rasulullah, of the equality of mu'mineen as far as the division of Baytul Mal is concerned, and the way of treating people, not based on their tribe or their race or ethnicity or their color. And that is why you will see in the early days, you know, there are many non-Arab Muslims. Historically, they are known as Mawali. Mawali means, you know, he was a non-Arab. You will see that among the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, there was a very large number of Mawali. And why they came to him and not to others? Because like Salman, they realized you will get equal treatment from Rasul and Ali. All these battles in the 5 years of the Khilafat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Jamal, Siffin, and the byproduct of that, Nahrawan, this is all because of the insistence of Ali on justice and equality. Talha and Zubair were the first one to do bay'at on the hand of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yet they are the one who instigated the whole battle of Jamal and got Aisha involved with them. Why? Because they were expecting preferential treatment from Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he said, no. To me, you and others are all the same. And this is where we realize, you know, the mazlumiyat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The opposition towards Amir al-Mu'mineen is only because of his insistence on adl. Some of the historian, you know, they put the historical event in the words where they say, قُتِلَ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ لِشِدَّةِ عَدْلِهِ. Ali was killed in the mihrab because of his insistence on adl and justice. تو شیعہ علی اگر ہونا ہے تو یہ آسان کام نہیں ہے. ہمیں سلمان کی مثال کو دیکھنا ہوگا, ابو ذر کی مثال کو دیکھنا ہوگا, مقداد کو دیکھنا ہوگا, عمار کو دیکھنا ہوگا, کمیل بن زیاد کو دیکھنا ہوگا, میسم تمار کو دیکھنا ہوگا. ان میں بہت سے ہیں جو شہید ہوئے ہیں صرف اس لیے کہ یہ علی کے ماننے والے تھے. امیر المومنین اپنی ذاتی زندگی میں بھی، پرسنل لائف میں بھی، عدل و انصاف کا جو رویہ تھا امام کا، اس کی ایک مثال یہی ہے کہ ماہ رمضان میں امام نے دنوں کو تقسیم کر دیا تھا، ایک روز اپنے امیجیٹ فیملی کے ساتھ افطار کرتے تھے، ایک دن جناب عبداللہ اور زینب کے پاس، ایک دن امام حسن کے گھر، ایک دن امام حسین کے گھر، یہ لوگ سب ایک نہیں ایک جگہ نہیں رہتے تھے، اور جناب ام کلثوم، یہ شب 19 کی جو بات ہوتی ہے یہ جناب ام کلثوم کے حصے میں آئی تھی، اور وہ یہی کہتے ہیں کہ بابا جب سے آئے ہوئے تھے افطار کے لیے بھی جب بیٹی نے لا کے نمک، دودھ اور روٹی رکھا، کتنی سادگی سادہ زندگی تھی، یہ نہیں کہ علی کے پاس دولت نہیں تھی اس زمانے میں، 25 سال کی جو محنتیں تھیں خلفاء کے زمانے میں، جو خرمے کے باغات لگائے تھے علی نے، اس کے ریوینیو آتے تھے، اور اس کے ریوینیو سے پورے فیملی کا خرچہ چلتا تھا، چھٹے امام کے زمانے تک اس سے ریوینیوز حاصل ہوتی تھی، لیکن علی از امیر المؤمنین، خلیفۃ المسلمین، اپنے زندگی کے سٹانڈرڈ کو بہت ہی سادہ رکھتے تھے، اور اس لیے آپ دیکھیں کہ کھانے میں بھی لباس میں بھی ہمیشہ بہت سادگی سے کام لیتے تھے، جب دیکھا کہ دسترخوان پر نمک ہے، پھر دودھ ہے اور روٹی ہے، ام کلثوم سے کہتے ہیں بیٹا تم نے جو ہے نمک کے ساتھ دو آئٹمس کو رکھ دیا ہے، دودھ ہے اور روٹی ہے، اس میں سے ایک کو اٹھا لو، اس لیے کہ تیرا بابا جو ہے اللہ کی بارگاہ میں سیر شکمی کے ساتھ نہیں جانا چاہتا ہے، جتنا کم ہو ہمارے پیٹ میں بہتر ہے۔ زدارن حسین، بیٹی نے دودھ اٹھا لیا کہ روٹی کھا لے، پوری رات گزری ہے، بار بار جناب ام کلثوم کی روایت یہ ہے کہ ہم دیکھتے تھے ہر تھوڑی دیر کے بعد بابا جو ہے صحن میں جاتے تھے، آسمان کی طرف دیکھتے تھے، لگتا تھا جیسے انتظار ہے کہ وہ گھڑی آ چکی ہے، بارک لی فی ہذہ اللیل، دعا کرتے ہیں خداوند اس رات کو میرے لیے برکت والی قرار دے۔ جب مسجد میں جانے کا وقت ہوتا ہے، بیٹی ماں باپ کے اس کیفیت کو دیکھ کے کہتی ہے کہ بابا آج مت جائیے، کسی اور سے کہیے کہ نماز پڑھا دیں گے۔ امیر المومن کہتے ہیں نہیں، مجھے جانا ہے۔ جب جانے لگے، یہ عجیب و غریب ہے کہ گھر کے مرغابیاں بھی جو احساس تھا انہیں امیر المومنین کے اضطراب کو دیکھتے ہوئے گھیر لیتی ہیں۔ اس وقت علی نے کہا تو ام کلثوم سے کہ دیکھو تمہیں ہمارے غم میں شاید وقت نہ ملے کہ انہیں تم دانہ اور پانی دے سکو، لہذا بہتر ہے انہیں آزاد کر دو۔ جاتے ہیں مسجد میں، مسجد میں جب وقت ہوتا ہے اذان کا، خدا امیر المومنین اذان دیتے ہیں، اذان کے بعد جب آئے ہیں محراب پہ، ابن ملجم بھی وہیں ملعون وہاں لیٹا ہوا تھا پہلے سے، اذان ہوئی، اقامت ہوئی، امیر المومنین مصلی میں آئے، محراب میں آئے، صفے تیار ہوئی، امیر المومنین رکوع میں جاتے ہیں، رکوع کے بعد سجدے میں جاتے ہیں۔ عزداران حسین، انسان جب سجدے سے سر اٹھاتا ہے تو تیزی کے ساتھ اٹھاتا ہے، امیر المومنین کا سر بلند ہوا ہے اور اتنی شدت و تیزی کے ساتھ ابن ملجم کے وار ہوا ہے،
وہ تلوار آ کے اس طرح سے لگی ہے کہ عمر بن عبد ود کے ساتھ جو مقابلہ ہوا تھا اس کی ایک ضرب لگی تھی وہیں پہ آ کے تلوار جو ہے علی کے فرق پہ لگتی ہے. امیر المومنین وہاں مسترب ہو جاتے ہیں لیکن زبان پہ وہی جملہ تھا فستو ورب الکعبہ, کعبہ کے خدا کی قسم ہم کامیاب ہو گئے. اس لیے کہ علی نہیں چاہتے تھے کہ وہ اس دنیا سے بستر پر جائے, بلکہ اگر موت ہو تو شہادت کی شکل میں ہو. دوران حسین جب یہ مصیبت ہوئی ہے فوراً آسمان سے آواز بھی بلند ہو جاتی ہے کہ لقد انحدمت ارکان الہدا, کہ ہدایت کا رکن جو ہے ڈگمگا رہا ہے. دوران حسین اس وقت جب ہے ابن ملجم تو بھاگ چکا تھا, کچھ لوگ اس کے تلاش میں پیچھے پیچھے جاتے ہیں. حسن اور حسین جب پہنچے ہیں بابا کی اس کیفیت کو دیکھتے ہیں, بابا کے سر کو اپنے زانو پر جناب امام حسن نے رکھا ہے اور کوشش کرتے ہیں کہ کسی طرح سے خون کو جو ہے روکا جائے. اتنے میں ابن ملجم کو گرفتار کر کے لایا گیا. جب امیر المومنین کے قریب لایا گیا اس کو اس تکلیف کی عالم میں بھی یہ عدل انصاف کا پیکر جو ہے اس کے چہرے کو دیکھنے کے بعد امام حسن سے کہتے ہیں اے بنیا ارفق بیاسیرک, اے میرے بیٹا اپنے قیدی کے ساتھ مہربانی سے پیش میں. امام حسن کہتے ہیں بابا اس نے تو ہمارے یتیم ہونے کا سامان تیار کیا ہے. اس وقت علی نے کہا بیٹا تم رحمت للعالمین کے نواسے ہو, اس بات کو مت بھولنا. امیر المومنین کو ایک لحاف میں رکھا جاتا ہے اور پھر کچھ اصحاب اور گھر والوں نے اٹھا کے اب مسجد سے امیر المومنین کے گھر کی طرف جاتے ہیں. جب قریب پہنچتے ہیں مولا کہتے ہیں میرے اصحاب سے کہہ دو کہ وہ گھر سے دور رہے, اس لیے کہ ہم نہیں چاہتے ہیں میری بیٹیوں کے رونے کی آواز یہاں پہنچے. عزداران حسین عجب نہیں کہ علی پیغام دے رہے ہیں ایک دن میری بیٹیاں زینب کلثوم قیدی اور اسیر بن کے آئیں گے, میرے عدل انصاف کے تقاضے کو یاد رکھنا. عزداران حسین وہاں زینب پریشان تھی, ام کلثوم پریشان تھی, بار بار جب بابا کو اندر لایا گیا ہے سب دیکھ کے سب نے رونا شروع کیا. یا بتا یا علیہ یا فاطمہ لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. خداوند دست قلب قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوند ہم لوگوں کو صحیح معنوں میں شیعہ علی بننے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. خداوند عالم اسلام میں امن اور صلح کی فضا پیدا کر, تکفیری افواج کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم. ماتم
انشاءاللہ وی ریسائٹ نوحا ٹمورو بائی ارجمن حیدری فار محمد و آل محمد صلوات. اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد.